I'm going to speak to you on the subject this morning of purpose. Purpose or purposed. Purpose or purposed. I was up a little after 5 this morning and was getting ready to do something about maybe continuation of the sermon last Sunday, which is seen and being seen, or go back to Babylon. I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to do, and then he told me this morning, I want you to teach on purpose or purposed. So I got out and started reading my Bible, and he gave me some scriptures, so I'm going to share those with you right now. First one we're going to be looking at is 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and you can follow in your Bibles if you want to. I'm going to begin reading with verse 6, and I'm going to read through verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 14. Therefore, Paul writing to Timothy, his young preacher, is like his son. Therefore, I remind you, how many of us need to be reminded about things? Amen. To stir up the gift of God which is in you. And if Paul's writing Timothy, who's a minister, telling him to do that, how much more do we who have the gift of God need to stir that up? I mean, to stir it up means to be activated, get it in your mind, focus on it, stir it up. You say, well, what gift do I have? Well, there's all kinds of gifts, but the greatest gift that we have right now that we've received is the gift of our salvation. Right? Can somebody say amen? And that's a gift of God. We don't work for it. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It's a gift. Amen? And sometimes I need to be mindful of the fact and stir that gift up inside of me. And then there's other gifts. There's a gift to preach and a gift to teach and a gift to be, you know, there's a lot, all kinds of gifts that are mentioned for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and some other places in the Bible. So, and it's a gift that is in you. Everybody say in me. Salvation is in you, not upon you. It's in you. Amen. And in this particular case, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, through the laying on of my hands. So he was saying, Timothy, when I laid my hands on you, and we have a lot of people that have had over the years have had the hands laid on them for different reasons. Some have received by the laying on the hands a gift of preaching and the gift of teaching and the gift of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Verse 7, for God, everybody say God, and let's just quote this ourselves, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but if you have the Spirit of God in you, he hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Amen? When you have the spirit of fear, now you can have a spirit to be concerned, and that's nothing wrong with that, and when we have that spirit, it's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of love. And we have the Spirit of God in us who has come to correct us, instruct us in the way of righteousness, to bring us to repentance, and do all kinds of things in our lives. We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit, because without Him, we can't do anything. Amen? All right. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. How many of you experienced the power of God in your life? Well, you should, everybody have your hand up, because you've been saved, you've experienced the power of God. Amen. If you hadn't experienced the power of God, you hadn't been saved. Amen. And have you experienced the power of God and the power of love? Amen. Isn't it wonderful that God loves you, loves us, and we know it? Amen. And God has given us a sound mind. I've thought sometimes I didn't have much of a sound mind, but the Bible tells me God has given me a sound mind. Amen? That doesn't mean I can hear sounds. How many of you know that means your mind is complete, that God has given you the mind of Christ? Amen? For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? The Bible says, but we have the mind of Christ. Those of us that are Christians, we have the mind of Christ. That's why we have a sound mind. We don't have a confused mind or a troubled mind. We have a sound mind. And if we walk in the Spirit, that sound mind is going to be demonstrated in our lives. Verse 8. I'll never be through with all this if I don't go on. I'm just about wanting to stop and preach and teach on every word. Therefore, do not be ashamed of me, the testimony of our Lord. Don't ever be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It's not just a testimony. It's not just something that you say. You listen? A testimony is who you are. And more people will be led to the Lord and be touched by the Lord through your life by the things that they see, your worship of God and your walk with God and the power of God in your life on a day-to-day basis as you live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. More people will be touched by what they see than by what comes out of your mouth. Amen. Jesus said, let men see your good works. Amen. Or my good works through you, that they may glorify your Father. They can see religious works, and that doesn't glorify God, because anybody can have religious works. Do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, anybody can have that. But when they see a power of God working in your life and know that, hey, I used to know that person, and he wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for the power of God in his life. Amen. Then they can glorify him. So don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. And everybody that all of us, the Bible says, yea, everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We don't like that part of it, do we? When we deny ourselves and take up our cross, what is some of the persecution that we suffer? We suffer the attacks of the enemy, spiritual warfare. Enemy trying to place thoughts in our minds that we don't belong to God, that we are not worthy, tries to bring up our past. Are y'all with me this morning? Verse 9, who has saved us? Were you saved? Listen, were you saved? Are you being saved? Or are you going to be saved? All three. Amen. We're saved. We're in the process of being saved. And one day we will be ultimately saved. Amen. The Bible teaches all of that. Praise God. And who are we saved by? Verse 9, who? That's not an owl, a hoodowl, who? That's God. God saves us. We don't save ourselves. God saves us. And he has a plan for that, and he does that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's how we're saved. And that's who saved us. And not how many of you are saved. Also, you've been called. Look at somebody and say, I've been called. Or just say it out loud. I've been called. What kind of a call did you have? It was a holy calling. We've been called into holiness. We've been called into righteousness. Amen? We think we've called on the name of the Lord, and we have. How many of you called on the name of the Lord? Amen? We called on the name of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus said, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you. We thought maybe we might have chose him, and we have to exercise that free will and make a choice for him, but we chose him because he's called us. God is not willing. Listen, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but the whole world's not getting saved, right? But those who are, for as many as call as on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So the work of the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ is death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. That is the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that anybody that senses the Holy Spirit and is drawn by the Spirit of God to God and calls upon him, they will be saved. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And look here. He didn't call us, and he didn't give us a holy calling according to our works. Are y'all listening? It's not by works of righteousness, Titus 3, 5, and 6 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Everybody say mercy. What does that mean? That means God's mercy. We haven't done anything, can't do anything to earn it. We don't deserve it. He's had mercy on us. Isn't that wonderful? Not according to our works, but according to his own. Now, here's our word, purpose. And we're going to be talking about purpose, our purpose this morning. Here's the first one of the places that we find this word, according to his own purpose. It's according to God's purpose that we can be saved. God purposed for us to be saved. If God hadn't purposed and made a way for us to be saved, we couldn't be saved. Are you with me? The purpose and grace of God, which was, everybody look at this, was given. Everybody say given. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. Amen? It was given. And I want to just tell you this. It wasn't given to you because you were a good person or necessarily a bad person. It was given to you because God loved you. It's not by works of righteousness. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus. When was it given to us? Now listen. Oh, you need to get a hold of this. It was given to us. When was it given to us? You say, well, 2,000 years ago on the cross. No, it was given to us a long time before that. When was it given to us? In Christ Jesus, before time began. So before we even had a choice, before we were even born, God demonstrated and was going to demonstrate His grace for us through His love for us through His death, the death, burial, and resurrection. He was going to give His Son that was foreordained and purposed from the very beginning. Aren't you glad? Amen? So that means it was purposed. It was foreordained before time began. But, verse 10, now look at this, but now has been revealed. It's been revealed. Now we can see it. Now we can understand it. Now we can receive it. How was it revealed? By the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, what has he done? Abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through what? The gospel. That's our job. We go out and proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't save people and we can't get people saved. All we can do is say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if they believe that and put their trust in him, they're saved. Not because I say so, because God says so. Many places in his word. Amen? Aren't you glad you're saved? Can you say praise God? Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 11, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle. Paul's saying, this all happened to me. I'm a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12, for this reason, because of the call of God in my life and because of God's purpose and while I'm doing what he wants me to do, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed to suffer for his cause. I'm not complaining when I go through some battles, and sometimes it's like the enemy is just tremendously attacking me in the spiritual realm. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Do we know whom we've believed? Not believed in, but we have believed. Listen, it's not on I believed on somebody. It means I believe that someone who said and what he said, and I believed that. I believed his word. And also, I'm persuaded. Have you been persuaded? That he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I believe that when I came as an 18-year-old young man to the altar and said, God, I don't know how to pray. And I was brought up in religion. I joined the church and all of that stuff. And I'm not sure I was saved when I was 10 or 12 years old. If I was, I didn't have enough sense to know what had happened to me. Are you listening? But now that I am saved, I've been persuaded through my experience and my walk with Him over the years that He's able to keep what I have committed to Him until the day. What day is that? The day of judgment. Verse 13, hold fast. You know, look, I'm holding on to this pulpit. And you can't tell that I'm gripping it, but I'm holding on to it. Not that it's going to fly away or go anywhere, but God tells us as believers that we believe and that we're persuaded that He's able to keep that, and then we need to hold on to that. Amen. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. How do we hold them? In faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 27. Everybody find that? Now, everybody say now. He, that is God, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He, that is the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints. Now, I'm going to ask you this. How many saints are here this morning? What does sanctified mean? It means to be set apart for God. Amen? So you're a saint. You may not act like it. We may not act like it. We may not look like it, but we are a saint. Amen? Praise God. According to the will of God, and that's according to God's will. Amen? He sanctified us, set us apart. That's what sanctified means. If you're sanctified, if you're set apart, amen, then you're set apart for God's service. That means you're, as the Bible tells us, we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You now belong to God. He's purchased you. He's redeemed you. Amen? We belong to Him. We're His property. So when the enemy comes to try to get a hold of us, we can say, get your hands off of me, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't belong to you or your kingdom anymore. I belong to God's kingdom, and I'm now a child of God, and I'm His property, and you no longer have any power or control over me. Doesn't the Bible say in James 4:7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you? Are you listening? That's how we resist him. You say, well, you mean you talk to the devil sometimes? Yeah, sure do. Prayer is talking to God. Resisting the devil is resisting the thoughts that come into my mind that I don't want there because they're not godly thoughts. That's how I let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's how I have to speak with my mouth. Are you with me? Get behind me, Satan. Isn't that what Jesus said? If Jesus had to do it, so do we. Amen? I don't mind sometimes I don't speak it necessarily out loud because I may say out loud because the enemy's bothering me in my mind and trying to put something in my mind on and saying, Satan, get out of here. You're trying to bring up my past and you're talking about a dead man. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So you can just quit talking about, get out of here now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm afraid to say that out loud around some people when I'm working on a job or something because they might all start running. They won't know who I'm talking to or talking about. Amen. Well, I think I'm Romans 8:27. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now listen. To those, Romans 8:28, to those who are called according to his purpose. You listen? We're not called according to our purpose, or some religious purpose, or to the kingdom of this world purpose. We're called according to God's purpose. And I'm going to tell you what God's purpose is here in a minute, if I ever get there. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, you need to put that down and remember that, because he foreknew. And I want to say something here, because I've had people tell me, and this is part of the confusion and the complication, and I'm going to put this here because I feel like I've had people ask me this before, and I've heard people tell me this, and they say this because the enemy has tried to confuse them over this issue. If God, and they say this, if God has chosen me, then I can be saved, but if God hasn't chosen me, I can't be saved. And so, I don't believe God's ever chosen me. Why would God choose me? Are you listening to me? Have you ever heard anybody? I had a good dear friend of mine, pastor friend, have that same issue. He was doubting his salvation. And I don't know how do we know God has chosen us or not? Well, we know for a couple of reasons. One reason, we know because God has brought us into this world and has given us a free will. And we have a choice. And it is our choice. And God is going to see to it that the gospel has been preached, and that, in fact, as far as I know, as best I can tell, in all the nations of the world, and to all the tribes of the world, the gospel has been preached. They've heard the good news of Christ. Amen? It's been 2,000 years for that to happen. Mostly, as far as I know now, I may not be totally right, but I believe that God is going to see to it that every person, that individual that's ever been born has had the opportunity to receive his Son, because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Are you listening? So, because we have a choice, and because God's going to see to it, to the fact that we have an opportunity to receive him, his Son, as our Lord and our Savior, that's a choice. So, when it says here, it doesn't mean, when it says here in the Scriptures, God has chosen us. There's no question about that. But that is qualified because it says here, where are we? Verse 29 of Romans 8, he foreknew, those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated. So, what I wanted to say to you, and some of the people that I've talked to about this, I'm going to say I say to them this very same thing that I'm going to say to you. His predestination doesn't have anything to do, nor does it interfere with your free will. But because God is all knowledgeable and he knows everything, he knows, because he can see in the future, what choice that you're going to make. Are you with me? That doesn't interfere with the fact that you have to make that choice and you have to exercise your will. But it does tell us that to those who make that choice and to receive his Son, what has God done? He's predestinated them. What has he predestinated them? Not necessarily, he's predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what he's predestinated us to be. So if I have exercised my free will, not because God has predestinated me to be lost or saved, because he doesn't say that he's predestined me to be lost and saved. He just says that he's predestined that those of us who exercise our free will and receive him, he has predestinated us to be conformed into the image of his son. That we're going to be born again by the Spirit of God. That's all he's done. Isn't that good news? Amen. To be formed into the image, can be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be firstborn of many brethren. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. We're just going through some scriptures right now, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing what God told me to do, because these are the scriptures that he gave me. I ain't even got to my message yet. I didn't think, but I am really, because these are the scriptures he gave me. Amen? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, now God is saying this, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, you see the word purposed? As I have purposed, so it shall be. So God has a purpose in this world. And he's purposed it, and it's going to be because he's purposed it. Amen? What has he purposed? Verse 25, now you want to look at this. This is the only place that says this in the whole Bible that tells us what God's purpose is. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Now, the Assyrian here refers to, and the reason we know this is because we know what Jesus did on the cross, and we know what God did and what he had purposed. And the Assyrian here means, and you go through and read this and have God reveal some things to you, you'll understand that the Assyrian here refers to the kingdom of Satan and Satan and his kingdom. That's what it refers to. So God is saying, this is a whole thing that's been purposed from the very beginning. Jesus said, when he was on this earth, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was cast out. But he wasn't destroyed. We still have to deal with that devil. You with me? He was cast out, but he hadn't been destroyed. But God's purpose is to destroy him upon his mountains in Jerusalem or in Israel. Are you listening? Now, where was the beginning of Satan's destruction? On the mountains of Israel. Where did Jesus die? Mount Calvary. Do you get that? On the mountains of Israel, when Jesus took upon himself our sins and died in our place and was crucified on the cross and shed his blood, that was when the kingdom of Satan, now listen to me, that was when the kingdom of Satan was completely, totally destroyed. And on the day of his resurrection, that's when we begin to see, and especially on the day of Pentecost when his spirit was outpoured on anybody and everybody who had believed, that they saw that the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, had been destroyed. Now, let me give you another scripture. The Bible says that God has translated us out from the kingdom and power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen? Isn't that what he said in Ephesians, I think, chapter 1? Right? God has, if you're a Christian, and I'm a Christian, and we've been saved, and we've believed the gospel, and the Holy Spirit has come into us and called us and said, I want you to make a decision for Christ, and has showed to us and revealed to us that Jesus died for your sins and my sins, and for the sins of the whole world, And when we put our trust in Him at that moment, because of that breaking that He did on the cross of Calvary, on the mount, on the what was the mountain of Golgotha? That was the hill. That was the mountain. And that was when Satan's kingdom was broken and his power was released from us. And those of us who put our trust in Jesus, that is the moment that we can look back to when God has peradventure and God has purpose to make that happen so we can be translated out from the kingdom and power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear sons. Amen? So you're no longer... If you're saved, how many of you are saved here this morning? You're no longer a part of the kingdom and power of darkness. You're no longer a part of Satan's kingdom. You're dead to that kingdom. That's your old man, whom the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which from God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Thank the Lord. Now that's, if you're a Christian, that's what's happened to you. God has told you and told us in Isaiah chapter 14 that His purpose was to do that. And His purpose is going to stand. And it is a purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. That's not just means the earth, this globe that floats around here in space, but that means everything on this earth. People, animals, grass, trees. Are you with me? Under the kingdom of this world, which is under Satan, death and dying and decay affects not only people, because we've been born of Adam and into this world, but this whole world system. The grass dies, the trees die, the flowers die, the animals die. Are you with me? This place has been under and is still under. Satan is still the god of this world. The Bible calls him a little g, not a big. He's the god of this world. How did he get that? He usurped his authority and took Adam's and Eve's authority away from him, because God had given Adam and Eve authority over all of the things of the earth. Are you with me? And when they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they lost it. And Satan got it. Are you with me? So that's why we are born into the kingdom of darkness. But praise God, there is a kingdom of light. Amen. And Jesus said, believe in the light. And he's talking, I am the light of the world. You know what he said? He that believeth in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. That's what we have in us, the light of life. So that men, when they see our good works, they say, hey, that's the light of God. That's the light of life shining through that person. And he's got joy even in the midst of his circumstances and trials and his problems. And I want what he has. Amen. Praise God. That's how we bear witness. We are the children. The Bible tells us we are the children of light, not of darkness. Wow. And the Lord of hosts, verse 27, the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? Who's going to stop it? Nobody. His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. How many of you have been persuaded? Because you know whom you believed. Not in whom you believed in, but whom you believed. And whom you believe. But neither read Romans chapter 8, the last few verses of that chapter. Nor death, nor life, nor things present, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. That's our salvation. Boy, that'd make a dead man stand up and shout. I know, because I am a dead man and I'm standing up and shouting. Amen? Praise God. Well, this is good stuff. And I'm not through. I just got started. I'm going to read you. I can't read all these passages of Scripture. I'm just going to read one more. 1 John, the little book of 1 John, not St. John, the Gospel, but the little book of 1 John, written by the same author, John the Apostle. 1 John, and you can write this down, 1 John chapter 3, in verse 7. Are y'all ready? I want to read you one of the most important scriptures in the Bible that you'll probably ever read. Little children. You say, well, he can't be talking to me. I'm not a little children. I am a little children. One of his little children. Amen. That doesn't mean I'm not necessarily old. I'm 83, but that doesn't mean I'm not necessarily old. That just means that I'm still one of his little children. One, because he's a whole lot older than I am. Amen. But that doesn't mean anything to him, and that being 83 doesn't mean anything to me either. I'm still alive and doing well, thank you. I read somebody where the other day. Somebody was 90. Still going strong. So, as far as I'm concerned, God's not through with me yet. I don't know when he'll take me home, but home is where Jesus is, so I'm already home anyway. Are you with me? Amen. Little children, so, now, let no one deceive you. God in his word, and he does not want you to be deceived. So don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody tell you that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, don't even let the thoughts of the devil coming into your own mind tell you you're not saved, but you're lost. You just be all diligent to make your calling and election sure, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. And then don't let anybody deceive you. But one of the greatest accusations is the enemy comes and puts in our minds and says, well, you're not saved. Look at you. Look what you did yesterday. Are y'all with me this morning? Look what you did. Even after you become a Christian, what did you do? You did this. You did that. You fell into sin. You got drunk. You cursed. You committed adultery. You whatever. And there's 1,001 things that he can come and accuse us of because we've done all kinds of things. Why? Because we're still living in a fleshly body. Amen? And we have to grow in the love, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the enemy can come back and accuse us of all kinds of things. So don't let him accuse you and deceive you and tell you, well, you're not worthy to be a son or child of God. Well, I know that. He's not telling me I don't already know. I'm not worthy to be a child of God, but that doesn't mean I'm not one because I am, because he saved me by his grace and not by what I've done or what I haven't done. Are y'all with me this morning? Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let the enemy come tell you, doubt your salvation, tell you you're not a child of God. Why? Because he who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. So if we're practicing the love of God, the commandments are only two. Are y'all with me this morning? Somebody hang in here. I got to finish this. Amen? There's only two. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Amen? And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's righteousness. And if it was left up to me, I couldn't love anybody except myself. But it's not left up to me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've put off that selfish old man. He's dead in trespasses and sins. He's crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. And the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit that's given unto me. Amen? Why do you think I'm preaching? Not because I'm making a bunch of money out of it, I'm telling you for sure. I started this church because God wanted us to 30 some odd years ago. And it was only been in the last 10 or 12 years I was ever full-time pastor. I've always worked in construction and engineering and all over the place and worked and raised children and raised a wife. And, yeah, now you got it. She raised me, yeah. Anyway, you with me? I had to work for a living. I know what it means to work. I worked all my life. I started working when I was like 9 or 10, 11 years old. Mowing grass and whatever I could do to make some money. I'm the oldest child of 7. Are y'all with me? So don't tell me that First John chapter 1, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. I'm going to ask you, as best as you know how, do you love God? If you're a Christian, you do. And that didn't come just from you, brother. Let me tell you right now, that came from God. Amen. Herein, 1 John, 4:10 or somewhere over there says, herein is love. In other words, God's word is telling us, this is love. This is where you find love. This is where you get love. Where do I find love? Herein is love. It's not in that you love God. You hear me? Our love is not in that we love God. Where is our love found? It is in that he loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but God loved us. Do we understand that passage of Scripture? And because God loved me when I accepted his love and his grace and his mercy, then his love was shed abroad in his heart by the salvation and the Holy Spirit that he's given me. So now herein is love that I not only can love God, but I can love my neighbor. I don't have to like him. Are you with me? Didn't say like him. Didn't say let him go over there and kick you or your dog or shoot your cat or whatever. But we love him. We love him with the love of God. Now that you understand that, you'll understand verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm going to close. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose. We're talking about purpose, right? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. What does that mean? For this purpose, God has a purpose that the enemy is going to be destroyed in his mountain in the nation of Israel. And we already found out on Golgotha through the death, burial, and the resurrection that he destroyed Satan's kingdom right then and right there. Amen? That was his purpose. So the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was manifested. That means, manifested means he was revealed. He was made known. When the disciples said, and Jesus said, I'm going away and your hearts are going to be troubled, but never mind, I'm coming back. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He left me for him. So where are you going? He said, I'm going to the Father. Thomas said, well, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be happy. We'll be satisfied. What did he say? Have I been so long time with you and yet you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. What are you talking about? Thomas, show me the Father. Here I am. I represent the Father. That doesn't mean, boy. That doesn't mean that I've seen him in the. That means that I understand, I perceive, I know that he's my Father. Why? Because he's given me of his Spirit. Amen? And I know, you can't tell me, you can tell me a lot of things, but you can't tell me I don't love God. Because I appreciate God and I love God. Now, I may not act like it sometimes, and I may not look like it sometimes, and I may not live like it sometimes, but in my heart of hearts, I love God. Why? Because he first loved me and I've been a recipient of his love. Amen. So the Son of God was revealed. Why was he revealed? What was God's purpose? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, what was God's purpose in revealing his Son to the world? Why did Jesus come? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Somebody said, boy, my mom and my dad said to me, you're just full of the devil. Now, I know they didn't really mean that. I don't think they did. They could have. Because the way I acted, sometimes I probably was full of the devil. Amen? But when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, the cross and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross destroyed the works of the devil in me so that myself, old Lewis Cowan, become a dead man because I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live because of the love of the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And because he destroyed the work of the devil in me when he killed me. Amen? Romans 6 says, don't you realize, those of you who have been buried in baptism, that you were baptized into Christ's death? That as he was raised from the dead, even so you should walk in newness of life? You were raised with him. And I'm going to close with this. This is the last thing. I keep saying that. God has, I know this is the last thing I wrote down this morning. He had me write down. He said, you're not finished yet. I got up and already printed this in my computer, and I had to write this down because I'd already printed it, and I didn't want to go back and print it in my computer again. So I wrote it. He said, you write this down. God has a plan, a purpose for you and your life. And he told me to share this with you. So I'm talking to you. Amen? Put your finger out here. I'm talking to you. God's talking to you right here. Amen? He has a plan and a purpose for your life. It is his very best for all of us. The issue for you and me is that will we submit to his plan for us? Will we get in line with him and cooperate with him so that he can accomplish his best for us? If we will do that, then I guarantee you will enjoy his best. Now, do you say, does that mean I won't have any more trouble? No, you'll probably have more trouble than you've ever had in your life. Because you'll have spiritual warfare and a lot of other things that go along with it. Well, what do you mean I'm going to have your best? I'm going to have his best. I mean, you're going to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he is the very best that God could give you. And you can walk with him and talk to him. You can drive in the car with you. You can talk to him while you're driving down the highway. You can talk with him while you're taking a bath. You can talk with him while you're sitting on the commode. You can talk with him wherever you are. I say all that not to put shame on. I'm just letting you know God is in you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you are, don't let the devil tell you, no matter where you are, you can talk to your Father because he's in you. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Now, boy, I tell you, that's salvation. Boy, that is salvation. That's what salvation is all about. Now you can know him. Now you can have a relationship with him. Now you can talk to him. You don't have to come someplace and get down on your knee before a cross and go through 29 whatever sayings and go through all these rules and rituals and regulations. All you have to do is just come and say, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have you ever just came and told him, thank you? Have you just expressed your appreciation to him and said, thank you? Wow. Let's stand. We're going to have just a little piece of music here, and we're going to have our dismissal prayer. But if anybody, you want to just come to the altar and say thank you, or if God's touched your heart and you need to come and receive Him, or you need to rededicate your life, or whatever it is you need to do, come on down to the altar, and we're going to pray together with you toward this last prayer, and then we're going to leave. Amen? My oldest son is with us here today, Lewis Cowan Jr., and he's in the ministry. And he belongs to God, thank God. There were some times when I didn't ever believe that was going to be. No, I've always believed it was going to be. It just took a while. Amen. And Lou, would you dismiss us, please? Thank you.